Gracious and loving God, may the words I speak be those you want spoken. May the words we hear be those you want heard. May we live always to your glory. So a happy and blessed Eastertide to all. It is a joy to be with you today and to have this opportunity to preach on the second Sunday of Easter, also known as Thomas Sunday. And here I must confess to all of you that as I studied various commentaries on our gospel passage for today, I found most of them lacking until I discovered a few that suggested that while Thomas was doubting what he was being told by the other disciples, he was also really wanting to have the same or a similar encounter with the risen Christ. So here I want to check my demographic today. How many of you are familiar with the animated holiday special, A Charlie Brown Christmas? Oh, good, I'm in good company. Okay, you will probably recall that early on in that special, while Charlie Brown has begun to become disenchanted with the commercialism surrounding Christmas, his younger sister, Sally, cajoles him into helping her with a letter to Santa. And this dialogue ensues. Charlie Brown, you write it, and I'll tell you what I want to say. Dear Santa, how have you been? Did you have a nice summer? How is your wife? I have been extra good this year. Please note the size and color of each item on my list, because there are many presents that I want, and send as many as possible. If it seems too complicated, make it easy on yourself and just send money. How about tens and twenties? To which Charlie Brown says, tens and twenties? Sally continues in her cynical fashion, all I want is what I have coming to me. All I want is my fair share. And that's exactly what Thomas is saying today when he says, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. All Thomas wants is his fair share. All he wants is what he has coming to him, namely an experience of the risen Christ equal to that of the women and the other disciples. Now, those of you who know me and have perhaps been a guest in my home, no doubt you are aware of my passion for icons. And not surprisingly, I have a copy of an icon named Thomas Sunday, which was originally written in the 4th century and is housed in St. Catherine's Monastery located at the foot of Mount Sinai in Egypt. The manner in which this particular icon is written does not in any way match up to how John's Gospel presents this meeting between Thomas and the risen Christ. Whereas we read in our passage this morning, Jesus said in a somewhat passive manner, put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. In this icon, Jesus has grasped Thomas's right hand with his own and has forcefully pulled it into the wound in his side. Here, Jesus is clearly giving Thomas his fair share and what he has coming to him. While the other gathered disciples look either frightened or shocked, Thomas has his gaze fixed on Jesus in a manner that reflects him responding to the risen Christ in a now sure and certain faith, saying, my Lord and my God. This reminded me of our Lenten Adult Faith Formation group that studied the lengthy series of Hebrew scripture readings appointed for the Easter Vigil, thinking about how, when, and where God showed God's self to the people in these stories. Then we more specifically looked at how these passages are related to the sacrament of baptism. In the text, Praying Shapes Believing, we read this about baptism. The opening rubric of the baptismal liturgy reads, Holy baptism is full initiation by water and the Holy Spirit into Christ's body, the church. The bond which God establishes in baptism is indissoluble. For us Christians, a decisive change occurs in the waters of baptism. It is described by the Prayer Book Catechism as union with Christ in his death and resurrection, birth into God's family, the church, forgiveness of sins, and new life in the Holy Spirit. These constitute the indissoluble bond established by God in baptism. St. Paul describes his initiation experience in the words, It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. We might summarize the teaching of the prayer book in New Testament terms the same way. We who were many have become one body in Christ. We who were no people have become God's people. We who have been buried with Christ in his death have been made partakers of his risen life. We who have died to sin have been raised to new life in the Holy Spirit. By uniting us to himself, the great high priest ordains us to the royal priesthood of all believers and fills us with the Holy Spirit, forgives our sins, gives us a share in this new life in the communion of saints, sends us into the world in mission, and looks forward to the day of redemption. Brothers and sisters, siblings in Christ, in baptism, we all get our fair share. We all get what we have coming to us, namely union with Christ in his death and resurrection, birth into God's family, the church, forgiveness of sins, and new life in the Holy Spirit. Now that is indeed something worth celebrating for the 50 days from Easter to Pentecost. Commentator David Loess notes this about Thomas and us. When you read through the resurrection accounts of all four Gospels, you quickly realize that Thomas is not alone in his doubt. In fact, doubt isn't the exception, but the rule. No one, even after all the predictions, no one says, "Welcome back," or "We knew it," or "What took you so long?" No. No one anticipates Jesus' return, and when he shows up, everybody doubts. This makes me think that maybe doubt isn't the opposite of faith, but actually part of it, maybe even an essential part. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines faith as belief and trust in and loyalty to God, or belief in the traditional doctrines of a religion, or firm belief in something for which there is no proof. Notice the shocking lack of any certainty here. And this is where we, like the first witnesses of the resurrection, have to allow ourselves to believe in spite of our doubts. We are resurrection people who lack absolute certainty about the Jesus story. If we had to have complete and definitive answers to all of our questions about God before moving out to do anything in faith, my guess is that none of us would be here right now. None of us would be bringing items for the blessing box or bothering with winter outreach or checking up on our neighbor or visiting sick friends, because without faith, we would just be mostly sitting around wondering if anything that we do really matters at all. Look, we live in a world that is steeped in trouble. Every day, we are faced with systemic racism, gun violence, partisan politics, greed, corruption, devastating climate change, the war in Ukraine, and this list could go on and on. However, in the face of all of that, I urge us not to be cynical, but rather to recognize that absolutely every intentional act of loving kindness that we engage in actually does push back against and mitigate evil. As resurrection people, we don't need to have it all figured out. We can allow our faith as well as our doubt to coexist while we continue to act for the good of the world to which we believe we are sent by God. We witness to our belief in the resurrection by reaching out, visiting the sick, feeding the food insecure, listening to the depressed, encouraging the heartsick, standing up for justice, and the many other countless efforts that we engage in to care for one another and the planet that we live on. Now, while we have no guarantee of success with any of this, we do it because we actually believe in God's promise of new life as we have experienced it in our encounters with Jesus, the risen Christ, just as the apostles did. So to close, I want to invite each of us to approach this communion table today, expecting in our hearts and minds to receive what we have coming to us, looking forward to getting our fair share. And as we take the consecrated bread, let each one of us personally and intimately hear Jesus say, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And then let our amen truly be our heartfelt affirmation of faith that addresses Jesus, the risen Christ, as my Lord and my God. Amen.